Next case for argument, United States versus Trejo, Mr. Rowland.
Good morning, Your Honor. Please, the court and counsel. Position here is a situation where a multi-agency task force out of Milwaukee for a period of approximately 60 days was using the services of a confidential informant to attempt to purchase cocaine from an individual in Los Angeles, Ramirez, I believe, Rodriguez. After approximately 60 days of these negotiations, which were recorded pursuant to authorized body wire, with negative results, apparently there was another conversation between Mr. Rodriguez and the informant in which Mr. Rodriguez indicated that there may have been a source for cocaine in the Chicago area and that he was going to send an individual, Mr. Trejo, with the informant from, I believe they left out of Ontario, California, to go to Chicago. The informant purchased tickets from Ontario to Milwaukee Airport. And then the surveillance picked them up when they got to Milwaukee. The informant rented a hotel room, I guess, just outside of the Milwaukee airport, and rented a vehicle. And then in the hotel room, Mr. Trejo indicated that he wasn't familiar with the Chicago area. The informant made some phone calls and got directions for him to get down to the area around Cicero and Archer, I believe, over by Midway Airport. Mr. Trejo then drove down to Chicago in the car that was rented by the informant, met up with a person in the Chicago area here around the airport. The surveillance team followed him for a little while. They went into a residential area where the surveillance team did not go in, and then began driving. Mr. Trejo and another individual, Mr. Peraza, began driving this van from the Chicago area back up towards Milwaukee. The van was stopped in, I believe, Racine County by Racine County Sheriff's deputies, who contended that they had consent, they received consent from Mr. Trejo to search the van and conduct the search of the van, in which they found the cocaine. The two defendants were charged in Racine County initially, but then just prior to the preliminary hearing, the matter was, they were charged in federal district court up in Milwaukee. So the Racine County case was dismissed. The defendant filed a motion to suppress based on the failure of the agents to get a warrant to search the van.
Excuse me, pardon me, for what reason?
The agents did not have a warrant to search the van.
But they alleged they had consent.
They alleged they had consent.
Right.
That was the agent's position and the government's position through the entire case. The consent was the exception to the requirement for the warrant. We had a hearing, I think it was about 2 days, in front of Magistrate Lawrence, who ruled that there was consent despite the testimony of defense expert, linguistic expert, and the government's own expert, for lack of a better term, who both testified that the term used by the sheriff's deputy, I don't speak Spanish, so it's not going to come out right, but Compromiso mio in sucaro, I believe, was the term. And he wrote it down so that we knew what he was talking about. He wrote it for the court, not for the defendant at the time. Both experts testified that that was not a request. That was a command to step aside. I'm going to look in your car, basically. It was a command. It was not a question. In other words, he did not ask for consent by using that Spanish phrase. Both government and defense witness testified that this was an order, basically.
Let me ask you something then. That's your point. At the time that the officers, Lynn, did make the search, did your people object?
Well,
in any shape or form?
Well, at the time, they were both,
there were two sheriff's deputies at the time.
Yeah,
they were both of them going in.
No, at that point in time, they had, I believe, canine units that went into the van.
So, I mean,
they had the deputies had a second deputy there with canine units. So,
sure.
At the door went in, and both defendants were outside the van at the time. the, as I said, the magistrate then found that there was consent, and that ruling was appealed to the district court judge. The district court judge,
Judge Adelman, made no finding one way or the other
as to consent.
Well, then that's not a good possible cause. Then doesn't it remain an affirmance of consent? He didn't reverse Judge Gorenz.
He didn't reverse Judge Gorenz, but he indicated that he didn't have to get to the consent issue because he found that there was probable cause anyway, which then would have given the officer...
He didn't reverse it, is what I'm trying to say.
I don't believe so. No.
So it stands that there is a finding before us. Of consent.
Of consent by the magistrate, yes. Okay. And then another finding that there was probable cause based on this alleged telephone call that was made from Mr. Trejo to the informant. And what I think we're asking the court, first of all, was to find that there wasn't consent based on the testimony of the experts, that what the deputy sheriff did was order the defendant to step aside and just went ahead and searched the van, and then also find that there was no probable cause, since the probable cause could that there would have been narcotics inside the van could have only been based on this telephone call that was allegedly made by Mr. Trejo to the informant, which the government presented no evidence other than the testimony of a deputy sheriff, three people removed from the informant. And when looking at the totality of the circumstances, this one incriminating conversation was the only conversation that was not recorded. The government had authorization to record all the conversations, and in fact did, up until that point. That one conversation, which takes place to about 3 hours, I guess about a 2 hour drive from Milwaukee down to Chicago, and then this phone call is made supposedly on the way back, I guess, so approximately 3 hours after he leaves the informant in the hotel room where she's wearing the body wire, there's no recording of this conversation. The government, up until that hearing or that ruling, had contended that this was all based on consent and there was no issue with probable cause at the time, which is why no appeal was ever made of the magistrate's ruling concerning the disclosure of the informant.
But there was no probable cause?
Well, no one was arguing probable cause. There wasn't even an issue. Because the government's contention was we had consent, and therefore we don't have to show anything else.
But the dog sniff was...
Well, that's only after consent.
Yeah.
Would
certainly give you probable cause, wouldn't it?
But you can't get the dog sniffing until you get consent.
Yeah. But Judge Adelman didn't see that, and he said, I don't have to make a finding of it.
Right.
Judge Adelman on that.
On the finding of probable cause, yes. And Judge Adelman's finding was based on this unrecorded conversation of the informant.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Adelman. Mr. Pollack?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Brian Pollack. I'm the Assistant United States Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin. I represent the United States today, as I did in District Court. First, I'd like to correct some inaccuracies portrayed by the defendant here in his argument as well as in his briefs. The defendant in his briefs and his argument has maintained that the government limited its theory for the admission of the contraband evidence, in this case, to consent. The government never did that. I would direct the Court's attention to pages 34, 96, and 97 of the suppression hearing transcript. During that time, I, in fact, argued to Magistrate Judge Gorenz that there were alternate theories for the admission of this evidence, including probable cause specifically, as well as inevitable discovery. In fact, Judge Gorenz, on page 2 of her decision, notes that I made, her recommendation to Judge Adelman, that the evidence be allowed in and not be suppressed, makes note of that. On the issue of consent, Judge Gorenz found, in fact, there had been consent under all of the circumstances. There is a conflict here between the police officer who grew up using everyday Spanish, basically speaking to Mexican-Americans, and the expert brought in by the defense attorney, Ms. Rosenthal. There's an exhibit filed with her CV, her curriculum vitae filed with that suppression hearing. Ms. Rosenthal grew up in Santiago, Chile. She was a college professor there. I would suggest to the court that her knowledge, intimate knowledge of Spanish, although certainly an expert, is different from the street usage of everyday Spanish as occurs among the Mexican-American population in the same county. The sheriff's deputy testified that he had used this in the past, that the defendant understood what he said to him, and first he asked him in English, then he asked him in Spanish, and that the defendant then stuck out his hands, said "si," and nodded his head down. Even the expert admitted that the phrase
means yes.
Yes, yes in Spanish, that is correct. Even the expert admitted, Ms. Rosenthal, that the two words con permiso literally translated mean with permission. She further admitted under cross-examination that, for example, one could use that phrase if one wanted to enter a room, for example, con permiso, meaning with permission literally to enter a room. And we would submit that it's the same for as far as searching the vehicle. The defendant actually...
Did this police officer actually know Spanish or just a few phrases?
No, he testified that he has been using Spanish since an early age. He had Hispanic relatives. He wanted to learn to speak Spanish too. He had 3 years of high school Spanish under college Spanish. He was he worked in the jail both in Kenosha and King counties, which both have significant Hispanic populations, both permanent residents as well as transient farm workers.
Yeah.
And he had been using it for quite some time. Your Honor, in terms of the probable cause finding here, it's the government's position that the probable cause under the totality of the circumstances of the conducted search is overwhelming. We would submit that there are three separate legs to the probable cause. There's a confidential informant, the police observations of what could be called the evasive or counter-driving in the Chicago area, as well as the drug sniff. Each of those standing on its own constitutes probable cause. Together, they are an amazing amount of probable cause for this case. The defendant would have you believe that somehow you need consent to do a drug sniff. It's quite clear under the law that a sniff by a dog is not a search. So hence, the dog by itself is completely independent. When a dog hit on the van that the defendant was driving that night, that independent of itself would come to the basis to enter that vehicle and search for drugs. So we would say there's three completely independent bases for probable cause.
Was the dog search argued in the district court?
There was substantial testimony. It was not argued per se that that was an independent basis for probable cause. It was more argued in line as to what occurred and how it happened in terms of the consent.
In terms of the consent?
Yes. The dog search was done. The request was made, can we do a search? And prior to entering the vehicle, a dog search was done around the vehicle, almost independent of the consent.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Rowland, how much time do you have? 2 minutes?
With regard to the deputy's use of the Spanish language and that being in conflict with the expert, I believe the expert's testimony was simply that the phrase, in other words, you can't take it out of context. He didn't say con permiso and then walk away and then come back and say something else. He used a phrase, and that phrase,
does con permiso mean permission?
When used in a particular way, it would.
But didn't he admit the way it was used? Was that? And didn't they respond by saying, see?
She, meaning the expert, said that the phrase that the officer used meant literally, excuse me, I'm looking in your car. Not, excuse, would you mind if I looked in your car?
She admit that it could be interpreted
she
that
said
way.
It could not. I believe that's her testimony. It's in the transcript.
But that page is that it could not. I mean, just give me, I'll look at it.
I don't recall the page number.
Do you have any idea? Don't waste your time.
Okay. I do not recall it. So the officer's use was not proper. As far as the dog sniff goes,
what does this mean when you do this and say see?
I don't know. I don't speak Spanish, so I wouldn't know.
Doesn't it seem
like an officer taking me out of a car and telling me step aside, I'm going to look in your car, and I'm I believe Mr. Trejo is not a resident. I believe he's an illegal alien at this point in time. Hey, I back up and, you know, see, go ahead, do whatever you want. You're the guy with the gun, basically. As far as the dog sniff goes, the testimony, as I recall, was the dog and the handler were in his vehicle, which was parked sort of behind the officer who stopped the vehicle, so that the dog did not come out to do the sniff until the first officer said he had received permission to do the search. While a dog, say, walking through an airport, oftentimes you'll see the DEA or the local police use the dog just walking through the airport, and if that dog stops and sniffs a bag that's in the open area of an airport, of course that's not a search, but it is a basis for probable cause. Here, the dog had no way of sniffing the car but for the first officer's alleged consent. By
the way, you mean the dog was able to interpret?
Well, no, the dog wouldn't have been brought in.
I was going to say that would be a pretty smart dog.
Well, it was a very fast one running down the freeway. But he would not have been able to get to that point but for the permission.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Rowland. You were appointed,
yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.